الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. This is your beloved brother Murad Mohammed live on your blog talk radio, 7 o'clock p.m. every Tuesday evening. On behalf of M&M Sports, New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, that brings you this broadcast, Murad Speaks. We try to enlighten you on everything that occurs in the world today. We are confused of the things that we see, and for whatever reason, we do not understand why things are happening in society. So New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Murad Speaks, we try to tap into these various different entities and expand on them to give you some logic. Surely we can convince you intellectually what you ought to do and what you should not do. But we can plant the seed. And you, brothers and sisters, have to be able to cultivate that seed and understand without a shadow of a doubt that you have that ability. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah glorify his name, gives us this ability to take your own responsibility in your own hands. You can't pawn it off to anyone else. You can't say, my mother told me to do thus and so, or my father told me that this is the religion that I should believe in. Surely that mother and father tries to give you that which they think is right. But it's your job to do the research. It's your job to realize this is for me or it's not for me. There's no excuse in the final day of judgment. Every day is a judgment day. Upon understanding that every day is a judgment day, then you're going to try to be excellent in your character, excellent in your ability, excellent in the way you perform in society. I tried my best with my knowledge of studying under the leadership of Imam Walter Dean Muhammad for years to come to the understanding of putting the connection together. You got to connect those dots. When we read, it's a picture. Allah gives you a picture, you see that picture, and then you got to dig a little deeper. And if, in fact, you dig a little deeper, you will be able to find the understanding that Allah wants you to have. But keep in mind this is the holy month of Ramadan, and we say Ramadan Mubarak to each and every one of you out there that is fasting, and those who wants to fast and cannot fast. For nothing is compulsory in Islam, and you must use your common sense, because if, in fact, you are ill, you should listen to your doctor. But we want to touch on what is fasting, what it means by obtaining food and abstaining from food. Why do we make so many prayers during the holy month of Ramadan? Ramadan is, when it's all over, we celebrate. It's called El Fitr, meaning that this is your nature. Your nature. The nature in which God has given each an individual person. So you're fasting for yourself, not for your neighbor, not for your brother, your mother, your father, your sister, not for anyone other than yourself. This is your self-responsibility. And this is the month that you try your best to be able to come back to your El Fitr, meaning coming back to your nature, and be obedient to God. So we call it the holy month of Ramadan. And you may not can do what other people are set out to do because of your illness or because of your time. We don't live in an Islamic country. We live in a Christian country. But Allah says first comes difficulties, then comes ease. If you thought it was going to be easy, then you're not listening to Allah. It will be difficult, but it's based and predicated on your good intentions. Yes, did you know that, brothers and sisters? If you intended to fast and cannot, Allah will reward you as if you fast. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. He's such a merciful God. He understands each and every one of us. So this month, you have to get to know yourself. You got to get to know why was you created, what is your presence today, and what is your future. For Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, says in the Holy Quran that you have to study from the cradle to the grave. Allah also said that he will try you from the cradle to the grave. Now, when we say the cradle, most of us believe that means an infant. You know, when you're 1 year old or 2 years old or younger, you're in a crib. Well, Allah does not have to test a baby in the crib, for that baby came into this world with no sin. So why would it have to be tested? But the baby of the crib is your intellectual mind, that you're still a child mentally. And it's very difficult to feed you steak. You have to feed you baby food. So all of you who said that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught shirk, something is wrong with your understanding. For the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, and I will quote him, "I did not come here to teach you religion. I came to clean you up, and one after you, after me, will teach you your true religion." That saved them. For all of you scientists and sheikhs out there that want to refer to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as certain. Well, I know why you're angry. Because you look around and you see that Honorable Elijah Muhammad was eating steak. You see Sister Clara Muhammad eating steak. But the baby can't eat steak. The baby has no teeth, so it can't even chew it. Matter of fact, you will choke if you eat steak. So he had to feed us baby food. Mentally, spiritually, you didn't have no knowledge that you was just a child trying to come into a religion called El Islam with no understanding. But look how filthy you were. The mother or the father would not take you out to crib and you have urinated on yourself or defecated on yourself. Oh, we was all filthy. Filthy with what? Filthy with drugs in our system, alcohol in our system. Why were we filthy? We had no morals. We cared nothing about anyone. Matter of fact, brothers and sisters, you didn't want nothing out of life. You was downtrodden. You was beat up. Why they call you one-fifth of a human being? You was an animal. And they referred to us as an animal. 400 years of slavery. Can you imagine that? Deaf, dumb, and blind. Hung from the tree. Raped. Castrated. Shot in the head. Tied to two different horses for my legs. Set our body on fire. Tar and feathered us. Tied our hands behind our back and sent the horses two different directions. All this was done in front of the female. And the female realized that you came and helped yourself. How in the world are you going to help her? So she had to do things to survive. She had to play like she loved the slave master and had sex with the slave master and anything else he wanted to do. And then she had to come home and love you because you who she loved. But she couldn't tell you the things she had to go through to order for you to survive. Oh, this woman was unbelievable that she had to keep this secret. Today you refer to her as a hoe. Today you refer to her as a prostitute or low-life did. But she did it so we can survive. Well, here's 400 years later. I'm over 100 years, and we're still in slavery. We're mentally in slavery. We don't have any inkling of an understanding that when you come into the knowledge of understanding that God is great, when you come into the understanding that God created a perfect example in Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a mercy to all humanity, when you come into the understanding that God blesses who he pleases, when he pleases, and you come up from that understanding that you mean nothing to the world. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, money, good homes, and friendships in all walks of life. We had no money. We lived on top of each other, and surely if you lived in the projects, you would understand. And we had no friends because no one cared anything about us. Money, that got my attention. I'm quite sure it got your attention. Good homes. Who didn't want to live in a good home? And friendships in all walks of life. This is what we wanted. That was baby food. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had to feed us baby food while he was eating steak. He didn't do that because he was selfish and didn't want you to eat. But he knew you would choke. How in the world are you going to go down and sajda prayer and you don't have your drugs in you? How are you going to be able to say Allah is the greatest and you down and out? How is it, brothers and sisters, you going to fast during the holy month of Ramadan and you wasn't eating? And any time you can get food to eat, you didn't care what time of the day it was, you would just eat. That was difficult in teaching you that. So we call him the Master, Master Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because he understood our sensitivity and our love and our affection. So let's give it to him the right words you should use when you refer to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was wudu. He cleaned us up. You can't go to prayer right now with your intelligent self unless you do wudu. You must be able to clean yourself internally and externally in order for you to come to God. So it took him 40 years to be able to clean us up. It took him 40 years to establish us. Isn't that amazing? That Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to live on this earth for 40 years as a complete man before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him revelation. He didn't know revelation. We surely did not know revelation. He didn't know anything about God. Wow, we didn't know anything about God for 40 years. We thought it was Master Farad Muhammad. We didn't know anything about Muhammad the prophet, Muhammad the messenger of God. We had no clue, for we thought the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the prophet. And that's what we saw, but our hearts was right. That's the only thing we knew, and that's the only thing we was taught. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was teaching us. Did you know back then in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s and the 60s that you was being taught by God? Yes, brothers and sisters, how do you think that you operated with no understanding of Islam other than the religion was introduced to you? Yes, Islam was introduced to us. The Holy Quran was introduced to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was introduced to us. These things was introduced to us, so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad planted a seed in our minds to allow us to cultivate that seed. You had to cultivate it yourself. Take charge of your post. Walk your post in a perfect manner, keeping always on the earth. Quit when you are properly released. All these things was to elevate you to another understanding of you are somebody. You have to understand that you've been created by God himself. And once you come into this knowledge of who you are, now you know what he taught us. We was the Asiatic black man. We was the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, father of civilization, God of the universe. Did he lie to us? No. He just did not define it to us. Black man. Asiatic had a ring to it. Asiatic black man. Black meant faith. But if he told you that, you wouldn't even seen it. Black means faith. Asiatic black man. The maker, the owner, did he not give the human beings control over his earth? We're the Khalifas. But he couldn't call us the Khalifa. So he said the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet earth, everything at the bottom, the cream comes to the top. Have we not rise to the top? But he couldn't say it like that because you wouldn't have been able to digest it. He was a baby. So he gave you baby food. God of the universe. Whoa, that is powerful. God of the universe. Yes, Allah gave his whole creation to his human being. Why do you not think that Satan don't love us? Satan loves Allah. This myth that Satan's in competition with Allah. He knew Allah before we did. He serves Allah, but he has permission. Oh, Allah, why would you create mystic, more mystic in the land? So that means there were some other people here that was referred to as a jinn, a creature causing bloodshed. But he wouldn't want us to create more bloodshed. But he gave you a gift. His angels was created before us. But his angels had a job. The angels do the will of God, nothing else. You don't believe that? Beg the angels not to take your little infant, not to take the baby in the womb, not to take the child that's only 4 years old. The angel's not listening to you. Allah says remove them, they're going to be removed. You don't want a flood. If a flood happens, people are going to die. But Allah wills a flood, the angel calls on the flood. The angel of storm and hail and snow, where do you think it comes from? Allah wills his angels. There's trees of angels. I mean, that's the highest I can reach in the physical world of treeing. Trees of angels working for Allah. When you was coming in the womb of your mother, you think it said be and is? No, it was those million spurs shooting through that womb, trying to get the ovary. But one gets in. Now, I know it's an exception to the rule, but when it comes to exception to the rule, it doesn't apply. It's the norm. And the norm is one gets in. What happened to the other ones? They died. They all fighting to stay alive. But millions of them died. So that's dead sperm in the womb of the female. And then Allah gives her a cleaning period. Blood is purified. Blood is clean. You got blood running through your veins right now. Do they stink? No, because no air hits. It's in triple darkness. But let it come out into the light. Oh, that's some stinking stuff. You don't want to smell that. But it's purifying her body. So all that dead life that goes into her, you have to flush it out of you. So, sisters, you should understand that if you understood that the way you was created as crown of creation and the way that life germ comes into you, which is purified until it dies, but do you want all different types of sperms going into you? That means you don't know yourself. And you don't love yourself. But nothing is wrong with life germ going into you as your husband, meaning your other half. That's the will of God. But then it's blood, and it's water, and it's sperm. And you think it doesn't mean nothing because you can't see the life. So you want to destroy it because you can't see it. But see, our scientists, and your scientists are very close to the revelation. And they see that there is life there. Why, if you look through a microscope, you would see it looks like a little worm. Did you know you look like a worm? A little worm that crawls in the woods or in the dirt. You come from dirt, so it looks like a little worm. But Allah, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, gives their order to his scientists that understands this, that God says to his angel, I think you ought to give her a body. You got to have a body, but then you got to have legs. Should I give her legs, Lord? Yes. A right one and a left one, Lord? Yes. A left foot and a right foot, Lord? Yes. Shall I give her arms, Lord? All of this is the will of God, that he's molding and shaping you in triple darkness. And the woman don't feel no pain. There's no pain how that child is being molded. However, she got to go through difficulties. She looks in the mirror. She don't even like herself anymore. She stretched out of proportion. Some of them get bumps on their face. Some of them have to regurgitate all the time. Some of them are digested. Some of them got pain and aches. 9 months. 9 months. Allah takes her through that. But on the final day that she has to deliver, oh my God, now her heart stops. She can die right there. Because when you die, when your life is being given. And once he gives that beautiful child, and that nurse brings it and lay it in her bosom, oh, how sweet it is. That could be the answer to cancer, the answer to sickle cell. That could be the answer to racism, tribalism. That could be the answer to clear up all these things that people say about revelation. You have nothing to do with that child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that child an intellectual mind unbelievable. The excellence in that child is magnificent. Man didn't do it. Woman didn't do it. We made whoopee, but we don't make babies. And so the baby comes out of the womb educated. Yes, very educated. That child understands that all he or she knows is Allah. And they all speak God's language. Put them behind the wall and hear them cry. I'll pay you $1 trillion. Now, that's just a metaphor. I don't have $1 trillion, but if I had it, I would pay it to you. Tell me which one is African-American when you hear the cry. Tell me which one is Chinese, which one is German, which one is from any foreign country. You can't tell it. Why? Because they speak only God's language. Now, you and I, and we want to teach them our own language. If you're Latino, you're going to teach them Spanish. If you're Russian, you're going to teach them Russian. If you're American, you're going to teach them English. So now you got to teach them of this world. They know nothing about this world. They come in here pure and intelligent. Because why? God taught them clean. But they ain't clean now. And they need someone to change them. And they ain't going to stop crying until you come and change that diaper. Oh, they're intelligent creatures. And then they look at you. You think they looking in your eyes. They ain't looking in your eyes. They want to know, what the hell is you saying? Oh, baby, baby. Oh, sweetie, sweetie. Where do these words come from? Oh, I love you, I love you. They don't know that. But say, Bismillah, Rahman Rahim. Whoa, eyes get large. And all of a sudden, they know those words because those are the words of Allah. And those are the words that Allah taught them in that womb. Now you got to raise that child. And if you don't introduce to that child that God is great, if you don't introduce to that child, you know, we call the Adam in here. We say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, as if the baby ain't never heard that. And we tell Fatiha. Well, Fatiha is the nature of the human being. The baby knows that. And the baby gets real excited when you say those words because that's all they heard in the womb. They knew nothing of this world. So the angels can only do the will of God. They got a job. They don't rationalize. They don't say, well, you're too small, I'm not going to take your life. They say, well, I don't like that these two came together, so I'm not going to place that baby in that womb. No, they do the will of God. But you and I got a responsibility. Our responsibility is you can accept God or reject him. Satan said, whoa, that's too much power, Lord. They don't deserve that kind of power. Abstain from all of that. He cannot get you. So I want to greet all of you on the behalf of New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, where I speak. Assalamu alaikum to my brothers and sisters and my friends and my acquaintance and my associates and my family and my community. Yes, and I welcome my enemy. Oh, you don't think there's enemies out there listening? Yes, they're listening. Why do I welcome them? So maybe we can halal them. Maybe we can plant a seed to turn their lives around. Are we going to turn Satan's life around? Well, Imam Wallace D. Muhammad said, I'm a student of Imam Wallace D. Muhammad, and I take pride in saying so. He said he's a subtle creature. And by him being a subtle creature, he will not submit. And so he's going to try to do his job. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I will send you and all those who follow you to the hell fire. Whoa, to the hell fire. You know, who was young, we thought the devil was down in the ground with fire and a pitchfork. But yet God going to send him to the hell fire and all of us that follows him. So that means there must be a fire that we don't know about. But more important than that, Imam Waliuddin Muhammad said that he's a mercy to us. Why is he a mercy to us, brothers and sisters? Because he tries us. He tests you. And the reason he tests us is because Allah said, I will try you from the cradle to the grave. Well, what is our test? And we run from it. When we're a part of politics, you run from it. Some of you don't even want to know your neighbor. I don't want to talk to that Christian. I don't want to talk to that Jew, that Jehovah Witness. Why, brothers and sisters, you don't even want to help the man that's down in the ghetto just crawling around and don't want nothing out of life. Oh, you run from it. You cover yourself from head to toe and make you think that you're better than everybody else. And that's another thing that I like to speak about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never talked about the material substance of man's world. Man created material. So what is it when Allah says cover? Don't you know there are thieves that walk around in long dresses and veils over their face? Why, they go down to the welfare board. And even the white man said, if you don't take that veil off so I can see who the hell you are, you ain't going to get that check. And she got to take it off because it's reality. One, she wants that check. She ain't saying, well, you're not my husband. I won't even take my veil off from my husband. Then they cover from head to toe, but their morals are not up to place. So we can't tell what's under that dress and what's under that veil. Allah's not talking about material substance. We bring Allah from the Most High down to our pettiness. We walking around here as a little imp that works for Satan and want Allah to help you. Now let's see what Allah says. Allah says, you take a step and I take two. Meaning he ain't taking anything if you don't take a step for yourself. So you got people that gave up in life. Why did they give up? They gave up on God. And when you give up on God, he gives up on you. It's simple. This is real. Oh, God is so lovely. He just do everything that looks good, yeah? He wiped out a whole city that didn't want to serve him. Oh, you know, y'all don't believe that. That God said, be it is, and it was on fire. And he told them, tell your family, don't look back. And y'all blame the female that she looked back. But what did it mean that she turned into a pit of salt, that she looked back? All these stories meaning that when you leave something ugly, why would you want to look back? You look back on drugs, and next thing you know, you're back on drugs because you never wanted to leave. When you look back on stupidity and corruption, then that means you loved it. You should never look back. So you turn into a pit of salt. You hear our grandfathers and grandmothers, don't you get salty with me, girl. Because why? You get salty in your way. See, we move in the water that is shallow. But we don't move in salty water. Salty water does something to us. It just makes us other than ourselves. You can't even drink the water. You can't put salt water on your crops. It would not even grow. So you can't be salty. So it has nothing. Cover yourself with righteousness first. I'd rather see a young lady with a skirt a little above her knee and her hair out, but she got high morals. She loves God. She only knows what she was taught, but she's righteous in her deeds. Then to have a person that put on all that material to play like, oh, I covers myself because I want to prove to God that I covers my shame. What shame? Your character, oh, got a terrible shame. Your attitude, oh, it's shameful. The things you do is shameful. Who do you want to cover that? So Allah is not talking about the physical. When you read in the Holy Quran and you take it physical, you lost it. Everything in the Holy Quran is talking to you directly. You don't need no imam. You don't need your spouse. You don't need nobody. Allah talks directly to you. Come here, little girl. 7 years old. I want to ask you a question. Yes, sir. Where is God? God is close to me than my jugular vein. 7 years old, she knows where God is. Close to her than a jugular vein. But you become 40, 50, 60. Oh, I got to go see my pastor. To do what? I have to talk to God. I got to go see my rabbi. I got to go see my imam. Fool, God is right there. He's close to you and in your jugular vein. And you won't talk to him. Brothers and sisters, we have a sunnah prayer. We call it a sunnah prayer. It only means assume your own responsibility. And in that prayer, you can't even speak out. Because Allah don't want you to tell nobody what you're asking him. And nobody's leading you in that prayer. You leading yourself. And you're showing your allegiance to your Lord. Oh, that's a great dua. It's not actually called prayer. We call it prayer. But it's a dua. Because we're begging him. That's what we do. We beg Allah. And he hears us. And you don't have to holler. You don't have to speak out loud. Why, brothers and sisters, he knows what you're thinking before you even come up with the thought. The idea that you went to your Lord. And say, oh, Allah, show me the right way. Allow me to be upright. To allow me to live in this society and to be able to survive. Allah will grant you that. But he says, first, come to me. So it's going to be difficult. If it ain't difficult, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you right now, run like hell. Is that how important that female is? Because every human being, our father Adam, to Noah, to Moses, to Jesus, to Abraham, yes, Muhammad, the seal of the prophet, Dr. King, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Imam Wallace D. Muhammad, Booker T. Washington, the Burr, the Moore. All of these men that was substance. Yes, including Mullah Muhammad. Everything that looked like Mullah Muhammad came through that womb. You couldn't exist, brother, unless you come out of that womb. You know how important she is? Allah gave her the gift. Okay. Christianity is the closest thing to us. So they say, this house is a Virgin Mary. They call the house of the religion the Virgin Mary. I like that because they picked a female. Well, Islam did the same thing. Allah is consistent. Christianity came before Islam. And what is Islam? The Khalifa. It didn't say Caliph. It said Khalifa. Meaning that the foundation of Islam is the female. The foundation of Christianity is the female. One say Mary, the other one say Khalifa. But they both females. But what do they look like? You ever look at them and see what they look like? You can't draw a picture of neither one of them.
because it ain't physical. Because you, man, is a khalifa. Just like the woman is a khalifa, you the khalifa. But you can't be a caliph, because if you're a caliph, you're destructive, you destroy things, you're bold and aggressive, you're evil. You can't run no community like that. And a khalifa, they don't want to rule. They just want to oversee the community. They don't want to be the leader. They just want to oversee the community. So Allah calls it the khalifa. Man means mind. That means woman has a mind. There's no separation when it comes to the mind. But they call her mind the womb, meaning all this knowledge we got, she gave birth to it. Allah gave it to her. Okay, I hear you. You're running and saying, wait a minute, Marat. That female created a baby without the aid of a man. Yes, she did. Because her mother and father thought they made a mistake. She was what? A female. They didn't want a female. They wanted a male child. Gosh, I know what you know and know what you know not. I needed that female from that womb. Don't let nobody tell you apes and monkeys came from the womb. You can't find that nowhere in the history of the human being. Human beings comes out of that womb. Oh, my beautiful Christians, did you not know that Jesus was a human being? For it came out of the womb. So by coming out of the womb makes it a human being. So you say, all right, God brought a baby from the womb, and that's so spectacular, and my God, he had to be special. All right. And you got to put them palms out flat. And you got to bend those toes and those knees like you was in that fetus in that womb. That's what we do, but we don't understand what we do. We think it's all rituals. So you'll never forget that you came from her out of the womb of the earth. Well, where was Eve? Well, he only took one mold and molded us out of mud, out of clay. Some call it dust. But then he had to make it rain because you can take that hard stuff and it ain't wet. You can't mold it. And he molded one mold and made it male and female. So you don't have to say Eve. When you say man, that's Eve. Because man and woman is male and female. So they won. You know, my son got married yesterday, and a preacher, theology, called me and said, I don't feel comfortable because your son is marrying a Christian from a Christian religion. But he's Muslim. I don't know Islam as well as I learned it in college. He said, but I feel better if you would join me. I said, alhamdulillah. So he said, well, brother, anything I should not say? I said, yeah, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Stick with just God, and everything you say on the Injil, the Bible, is correct. As long as you leave. He said, no problem. And so he said, Rod, do you have a prayer for them that you can say? And I said, yes. I don't care how you think about my son and vice versa. I don't care your emotional feelings or what you have in your soul about each other. But if you don't give him your heart and he don't give you his heart, then you're not complete.
the heart is the most obedient substance of the body. So you have to give each other your heart to come together as one. And keep in mind, your mother comes first. Don't you let nobody get between you, put it in the oven. And when you let the cake sit for a while, you put a little icing on it, chocolate, coconut, whatever icing you want to put on it. I never heard anyone bite into that cake and say, this sugar sure tastes good. This yeast sure tastes good. This butter sure tastes good. They say, this is a delicious cake. So they're giving a compliment to the ingredients that made up the cake. That's Muhammad the Prophet. Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you don't have to greet each one of them individual. When you greet the seal of the Prophet, you're greeting all the prophets. See how merciful God is. So when you say Adam, you're saying Eve. Because Adam can't operate without Eve. Because, brothers and sisters, if you ain't married, you're just a half a person walking around. And I don't want to be a half a man. I want to be a complete man. So I was taught at a young age, you get married. And once you marry, now you got the foundation of success. And all your millionaires that's not married, you left a whole lot of men behind. They're just a half a person doing a half of things. So, brothers and sisters, you have to learn the logic and the connection of what you read in the Holy Quran, and you can't walk in this society ducking your responsibility as being tried. For Allah says, work in this world. What other world are you going to work in? But in this world, there's trial and error. And so you're going to be tested. I got to go to the bathroom. So I'm going in that bar because that's the quickest way. I got to go to the bathroom. Oh, you better go in that bar. They got alcohol in there. I don't fear alcohol. They can test me. I walk past it like it's nothing. Brother, in order for you to get to the other side of that tunnel, you got to walk in there. They got all kinds of drugs. I don't fear drugs. I'm going to walk right through there. Brother, I'm telling you now, that's Solomon and Gomorrah. They got nothing but homosexuality, I mean, this and that. Man, I got to get the other side, and I'm not going around that building when I can walk right through that building. They said, well, don't go in that one. I said, now, what is in that building? Well, a bunch of pretty women naked. I'm walking around. I ain't going through there. Now, that's temptation. So you got to know what you can be tempted with, what you're not going to be tempted with, because we can all slip. And I ain't testing myself. A little wine won't hurt you. Yes, it will. I might like it. I want it again and again. But if I don't taste it, I may not like it. So I says to my daughters, I said, y'all listen to me, baby girl. I'm telling you now, do not taste the cake. Because if you taste the cake, you're going to like it. So you abstain from the cake. Get your education. Now, they're only 3 years old looking at me like, what is daddy talking about? But I'm planting the seed. I'm letting them know right away how they should grow up and be upright in their spirit, upright in their soul, upright in their obedience to God. So I say to you all that this is the holy month of Ramadan. So we say, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the Lord of all the worlds. We thank Allah for giving to us a mercy, and Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, the seal of the Prophet, as mentioned in the Bible, in the Jew, as well as mentioned in the Holy Quran.
Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We say Bismillah the Rahman the Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sa'asa wa sa'am wa sa'asuli kareem. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salaka Allah Madin. Brothers and sisters, when you use these words, your spirit comes to life. You might be down in your flesh. You might be down in your intellectual mind. But Allah ain't telling you to stand up in your flesh. You're ill, but stand up in your spirit. Stand up in your soul. Because your spirit leaves you, and it goes out and venture, and it sees things that you can't see. And it says to you, come on out here. Because the spirit can't define what he's looking at. But he invites you out here to be able to see, wow, look at this open field. Look at God's creation. Now you can define it. So that's the spirit. The spirit is created by God. You don't die. You evolve. That caught. That's the spirit that leads, that God created. Where she go? Oh, she returned back to Allah. Well, where's Allah? What land? Or what city? Or what state? Or what water is he recited over that you returning to him? No, that which he gave you as a loan comes back to him. There as the original self. So we use the phrase, we're returning to our Lord. No, you return it to the creation that God has created you to be. And that creation puts you above the angels. You are the number one creation of God. So God don't kill something that he created as perfect as he created the human being. The excellence in the human being is unbelievable. And we should understand that. You know, sometimes I get texts and I get emails and people send me questions, and I love those questions because it refers to this month, the month of Ramadan. And let me explain to you about the month of Ramadan. The Ramadan, as I said earlier and I reiterate, is your individual fast. No one should ask you, are you fasting today, sister? Are you fasting today, brother? You should say, none of your damn business. Because it's not for them. It's for Allah. And Allah is the best knower. If he fasts, if she fasts, no man, no woman should ask you that. When our father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased him and send him paradise, he said, if you tell someone you fasting, you broke your fast. I never really understood that, but now I got it. Because when you talking to your Lord directly, you don't brag about it, because now you get one for one. You talking to your Lord for your gratification to be a better person. Fasting is to allow you to go into the gym and prepare muscles. So you can look good, so you can be strong for the rest of the year. But not physical muscles. Strength in your belief. Power in your resistance of that which is not good for you. So you're exercising. However, Mary told her uncle, because her mother sent it to him, to feed Mary while she was pregnant. Her uncle, that she was fasting. She used the word fasting, brothers and sisters. Was she fasting? Yes. And he would come back and says, here, let me feed you this food. And Mary would say, I'm fasting. So he couldn't feed her. But what food the scripture is talking about? Let's see if we can put it in perspective.
The uncle was bringing her knowledge. You eat that knowledge. You swallow that knowledge. That's food. Allah says food to make you understand. You can see food. But it was the knowledge. She was taught by Allah. So she didn't need his food. She didn't need his knowledge. Because she had a child to raise. And that child had to be able to work for Allah. So Jesus was raised by the mother. So they said, well, Mary gave birth to a supernatural. I use those words because y'all don't think he was a human being. But that's mathematically impossible because Mary came from the womb of two human beings. So that means she had a human being womb. And Jesus came from a womb of a human being. So that made him just like you and I. He bleed. He slips. He don't tell the truth. Yeah, he lies once in a while. But yet this child had to be raised by Allah through a virgin of the intellectual mind that was not tamper of this world. So she fast from this world. Okay, hold that thought. Now I got you thinking. Adam. Adam ate from the tree. What did he eat? Now you really think that he bit in the apple so he was able to disobey God? No, the apple is sweet. Satan's words are sweet. He said, don't eat from that tree. Meaning, Satan means life. He was a creature. He had life. And he was feeding Adam the wrong food. So they called it apple because it was sweet. What made it sweet? He said, you want to show God that you can do this on your own? This is what you do, Adam. And Adam did it. He didn't disobey God. He thought he was doing something. See me? I did this by myself. And Allah said, I told you not to eat from that tree, but that you eat. So it had nothing to do with the physical food that you abstaining from. Because we got men and women that's ill that can't touch food. What do you mean? They not doing Ramadan? In your mind, you don't think, oh, brother, you don't eat from the sun up to sun down. It's a ritual to prepare you that you can abstain from food. You can abstain from anything. So since food is good for you, it's nourishing for you, and some of us are just hogs and obesity and eating, but if you can abstain from that, you can abstain from adultery. You can abstain from fornication. You can abstain from drugs. You can abstain from bad news, things that people feed you. So the food is just an aspect of training you of how you should conduct yourself in this world. So we make our prayer. And we come together as a congregation, especially Friday. But the Jews have Saturday. So what makes us different than the Jew? Called Sabbath Day. Sabbath Day actually means Lord's Day. That's the way the Jews see it. Shuts everything down. Drive no material substance. Don't watch TV from sun up to sundown. The Christians have Sunday. Sunday they go to church to do what? Praise God. The Muslims, they say, do the same thing. No. What is Juma? Juma is congregation. You get blessings when you come together as a community to pray. But every day is God's day. And most of us don't know that because we don't even come out on Monday. We don't come out on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, just Friday. We don't feel victim in how other people practice, so we chose Friday over top of Saturday and Sunday. No, Allah chose Friday for us to come together as Jummah prayer. And it says, listen, if you only but know, rush to Jummah. Drop everything. Well, you know why you won't drop everything? Because you don't even know why you go to Jummah. Well, God said, okay, being it is, you obey Allah, you hear him, and you obey him. But you, Allah doesn't want you to just do things that have no knowledge of why. Do you know what you did on Saturday? You committed a sin. You committed a sin on Sunday. How about Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday? Thursday you commit. No, I didn't. I was loyal to my husband. I didn't go out and give sex away. I didn't play. I don't get high. Yeah, but you thought about it. You thought, you know how thoughts come into the mind and it's not right, but you're human. But on Friday you're forgiven. Everything you did all week. Because what it is, Allah makes you new. Oh, Lord, send me back to heaven now that I know that I'll go to Jummah. It's too late. When you die, it's over. Ain't no coming back. If you ain't got it now, you won't get it. You got to get it now. This is your trial and error. This is Lamadeen. This is religion. This is debt. Deen means debt. You owe a debt to God. And you gotta pay back. Not the debt of the United States of the government. I owe for my house, I owe for my car, and I die and didn't pay. I hear people say that. Oh, brother, if you don't pay your debt, you will not make it to paradise. Oh, come on, please. It has nothing to do with this world. Well, I heard him, Brother Murad. I heard Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beg Allah, oh Allah, free me of my debt. What debt did you think he was talking about? That? Saudi Arabia? Mecca? What are you talking about? The debt he owes God. He gives you the air to breathe. Hold your breath. You will die if you don't give it back. He gives you water to drink. Don't let it out. You'll die. It gives you food to eat. You got to get rid of it. Or you die. Anything good, you got to give back. So you got to give back to God what he has given you, the crown of creation. But you can't pay him with your money and your fame and your ego. You can only pay him with your good deeds. Barakat is called. Sunnah. Assume your responsibility in doing what you don't want to do, but you do it for the sake of Allah. That's the barakat, because you don't have to. Allah said you don't have to accept it. But you say, La ilaha illallah. That's the first shahada. La ilaha illallah. Our Christians are saying it. But you want more barakats? And you say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadan Rasulullah. That's the how to attain. But all you who believe that our Christians say, La ilaha illallah, they'll make it to paradise. You graduate in that classroom, 300, 310. How about 320? I don't want to graduate no 320. I want to be top in my class. I want to see how I could be amongst the top five. What you put in is what you get out of. And so Ramadan is a blessing because it allows us to be able to see God and prepare that you should do this every day, not just 30 days or 29 days. You know, we have a question that was asked that a female, when he loves a man, but wants to walk away. But for some reason, she keeps coming back. And I'm saying to my beautiful specimen of a female out there, and I want you to know when we say Muslim, Muslim does not mean no one individual or no group of people or nationality or what color your skin is, how educated, how uneducated you may be. Muslim is the nature of every human being. So when I address this as a female in love with a man, and for whatever reason, she walks away from him, but she keeps coming back. What is happening is only Allah put love in the heart of the female or the male, but her intellectual mind can't see it. Her intellectual mind tells her, you don't have to put up with this, just walk away. But her heart sends a message and say, yeah, but you love him. How could I love him and I never had him? Because Allah put that love in her heart. You ever heard the opportunity that says, I want to share this with you because we hear it all the time. Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it says, read, Iqra. Read in the name of your Lord that created. And Muhammad the Prophet said, I cannot read. And he said it for the second time, I cannot read. And he said it for the third time. But this month that you read the Holy Quran, you're going to see Iqra. But you ain't going to see it one time. You will not see Iqra in the Holy Quran three times. Why? Because it didn't exist. If it's not in the Quran, it doesn't exist. So where did the three come from? Well, comes from man struggling. So on your own, you say, I cannot read. Just like you cannot read your heart. You're saying, I don't know. I walk away, but I always come back. I can't read, Lord. And your Lord gives you a sign that maybe you should talk about it. Because your intellectual mind don't have it, so you should talk about it. Yes, I talk, but I cannot read. But the third time is when Allah calls you, and he says, read in the name of your Lord that created. And Muhammad began to read. So it was Muhammad that struggled twice. Because Allah don't have to give you three commands. He's the Lord of all the worlds. All he got to do is command you one time. And you want to read. But he's not going to give it to you until you figure it out yourself. So revelation wasn't written on his intellectual mind because he said a mountain. Now, he never named the mountain, but the biggest mountain thus far is Mount Everest. If he would have wrote it on the mountain, it would crush the sand, meaning your intellectual mind is a mountain. It stands upright. It's tall. It's over top of everything of that earth that you own. Called body. But you can't figure it out, so he won't write it on your head. And you can't articulate it, so he didn't write revelation on your tongue. Where did he write it? On your heart. Now, Muhammad the Prophet began to read. Even though they said he shook. So it wasn't like he took it, oh, wow, I got it. But those who think that Muhammad the Prophet couldn't read, they say, well, he wasn't educated. No, it was no piece of paper, because God don't need man's paper.
Man created paper. God didn't need man's ink. Man created ink. And nor did he need your language. So God says, read. That's your husband. And if you read, you go get your husband. And your heart will be pleased. But if you got all these rituals blocking you, you ain't reading. That's why you keep coming back. Because something is saying to you to read. So when we stand upright in Qiyam position, we're straight up. The Bible says your head is in the sky. I like that because we scientists, doctors, lawyers, engineers, legends in our own mind. Our head is in the sky. But Allah says you got to take those two hands and say, Allahu Akbar. Meaning now you got to listen. You're calling God is greater. Greater than who? Greater than you. Allahu Akbar. And then you call the Adam. Hayat. Hayat Salat. But Hayat means life. So Allah is calling you to live. You're getting ready to live now. So you're standing in Qiyam position, straight up. You're over top of everything. Hayat Salat. Come to success. He don't want you to come and live and don't be successful. They say live in this world like a peasant. Live in this world, you don't want to work. Live in this world, you just wait to die. Live in this world, you just make prayers every day but won't get up and get nothing out of life. Get a part of this dunya. Make it yours. Why can't, Lord? Because Donald Trump is trying to rule. Donald Trump is a trial to you. He ain't nothing but a trial. And what he do and what he says shouldn't have no bearing on you. Matter of fact, he's a blessing because now you see how wrong it is. You can't see ugly until you look in the mirror and see that you're beautiful. And then you say, oh, Lord, don't let me look like that. And you don't know how intelligent you are until you see ignorance. So Allah gives you a picture first. To go beyond that picture. So now you know now you're coming to life. But then he says, come to success. You have to live. But then you go down in Raku position. And you are now in a Harizana position. Where's the heart that we was talking about? It's equal. Allah is saying if your intellectual mind is not in tune with your heart, then what are you doing down there in ruku position? Because they are now parable. That's what God is talking to us. But we do it, but we don't understand it. We think we're just going through the exercise. Then you rise up, back up into your big head in the sky. But Allah is asking you, did you see that your heart have to be in tune with your intellectual mind, my sister, my brother? No, you didn't get it. So go down in Sajda prayer and put that big head on the womb that gave you birth. Where's the heart now? The heart is above the head. And you are in Sajda prayer. You ain't standing up. You ain't in ruku. You in sajda prayer as you was in the womb. What is Allah saying? Allah is saying, heart, tell that mind to follow you because you don't question me. Your heart don't question God. You questions God.
Oh, is that so, Brother Murad? Let me see if that's in the Quran.
That heart don't say that. The heart is obedient. So you sit down now.
three strikes you out. Or pardon me and have mercy on my soul. Pardon us. Because us got you confused. You didn't do wrong by yourself. It took more than one to do wrong. So you say, pardon us. Oh Allah. So all these rituals, you should understand why we do that. Because of the heart. When the head stops talking and listen, then the body gives up on you. That little head over top of that big body, because all of us got a big body. And the head is the smallest thing, but it rules down and out in your spirit. You don't want nothing out of life. You gave up. You want to commit suicide. You want to die. So the body craves. But the mind is saying, why am I down here? But the body is crazy. They don't respect you no more. Then all of a sudden, you want to now serve God. Or you get up from there. So the body said, he's back. Now keep in mind, he means she. So don't fault me. I used the masculine. He's back. And so someone comes to the heart and say, can you tell Marat that he should do thus and so? She would say, no, I don't tell my leader what he ought to do. You can send him a message, but I obey him. Why? He's in his right state of mind. He now rules over top of the earth that God gave you. That's the intellectual mind. That's the excellence in the human being. Because the human being is now the Khalifa and worries about everything. We got a problem down there. That little toe, somebody stepped on it. And it's bothering us. It worries about the little toe. It worries about the big toe. My ankle got me limping. My ankle shouldn't be limping. Everything in that community, everything in that earth that God gave you, you are over top of the guarding of the what? Paradise. Paradise. You are paradise. And don't even know it. But you're looking about somebody else's paradise. You're looking for land with flowers and green grass. You're the most gorgeous thing ever been created and don't even know it, brothers and sisters. Allah gave you your own earth. You're in charge of it. Don't let influences outside your earth tell you how to govern your earth and what satisfies your earth. So the female, she gets hung up on rituals. She goes years without a man because he thinks that she's serving God. No, she's not serving God. She's serving a ritual. And the ritual will get her nothing. Okay, Marad, you got to dig a little deeper for us. Don't we make rituals around the Kaaba? The Kaaba means connection. And all you brothers that don't want to shake the left hand of the man, as if God created the left hand to be dirtier than the right hand. The left hand is more submissive to Allah than the right hand, to you. You don't believe that? Tell your right hand to pick up that bag. It's heavy. You do not have to tell the left hand to help you. It helps you automatically without you even thinking about it. So what's dirty about the left hand? So go around the Kaaba to your right and see if you don't get trampled. Allah don't need right. Because that's what this world created, right and left. But you go around the Kaaba to the left. And when Allah's trying to say something to you, then you got to go around there seven times
Then you got to open your hands and make a prayer and throw a kiss to the black stone, because very rare would you be able to touch that black stone. Then you got to run from both of the mountains, like Haji, 7 times. You got to stone the devil. Now in that hot sun, 115, 120 degrees, all those rituals, do you know if you don't make Arafat, it stands for nothing? Your heart didn't even accept it. Yeah, brother, now you got to put your clothes back on. Yes, you can't undress because we might see things that might tempt her. No, fool. She don't have to undress because she didn't curse the world. How she cursed the world and she birthed you? You cursed the world. I cursed the world. So get them clothes off and come back and dress like you all. No big eyes, no little U's. Y'all look the same. My brother, if this was a world that was high morals, you might not even have no underwears on. But you got to wear underwear. But you got to dress out of those clothing. Come to Allah the way he gave you his birth. So the woman don't have to dress. But you do. Why? Because Allah wants you to know each other's culture. Oh, my brother from Saudi Arabia. Because of the way he stands. Because he is dressed. My brother from Africa. Because he is dressed. It ain't complete until you come together as a community and know one another and learn from one another. But we got a major problem. Oh, my brother from Turkey. You don't sound like a brother from Turkey. Where you from? America. Where's your culture, brother? You look like me. We don't even have our own culture. We dress like everybody but us. We only want to get back in our own skin, but they don't see it because there's a ritual to them. They believe that they dressing like Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there's no man can draw the picture of Muhammad the Prophet. Why? Because Allah recreated him. Yes, he came out of the womb of an Arab. He didn't know her. He was only 5 years old when she passed. But he didn't even know his father. Why? Because he didn't want you to be an Arab. He didn't want you to be from Italy or from Japan. So how did he raise Muhammad? As an upright human being. Can't no nationality take credit from the Prophet. Because even us, if he was an Arab, we would feel very insulted that he's the perfect example and he's an Arab. Or the brothers from Asia would feel insulted. So Allah didn't raise him as an Arab. He raised him as an upright human being. And he didn't waver in his good nature. And so, brother, we have to learn from one another. And now you will stop wondering why you run and come back and run. I don't know why I love that man. Because he's in your heart. Men decide to take on that female. And we want that female to keep running back, keep running back. And we say, something wrong with her. But you've been a user and an abuser. Allah will punish you. Don't you know, brother, that it's a gift? It's a gift to her. She's a gift to you. Allah saying, fool, you don't recognize that she came back 3 times? You don't need 99 times. You only need 3. We don't dicker
99. That's too extreme. But she came back, subhanAllah. You didn't hear her. Alhamdulillah. You didn't hear her. Allahu Akbar. Whoa. You heard her. Three times she came back. Because a man's created in three. If you have prayer, you got to have the spirit, you got to have the soul, and you got to have the body. Body comes first. So the spirit is, we got to make prayer. The soul is, somebody's got to lead that prayer. But you got to have three. If you don't have three, it's not accepted. You might as well just do individual prayer. And so, we don't disrespect her because she now came running back to you. You should say, alhamdulillah, this is a marriage made in heaven. So the man's mind, if he's righteous, he understands that. Keep in mind, a righteous man that studies this Holy Quran, there's no compulsory. And it's a major responsibility how he thinks, because it's beyond one's imagination. Because he takes the simple things and he uses it everyday life and talking to his Lord. And they ain't ready for it. So they chase you. Or they think you're out your mind. During the holy month of Ramadan, you don't even want to kiss your wife because to you it's dirty. It's unclean. But you're not kissing your wife because you want to enter into her body. You kiss her because she's lovely. She's beautiful. She's God's gift to you. So you just want to show your appreciation. And you kiss her out of her. And she should accept it. Because she knows how her husband thinks. And when the sun goes down, but you tell her God is greater. So when mama passed, you accept it, because why? Allah created her to pass. And I accept Allah. So man can be so into the female that he can't abstain from sun up, sun down, to make love to his mother, and he's making sajad to Allah. And he's trying to be obedient to Allah. But look how merciful God says. But when that sun goes down, you can make love to her now. You say, well, why would I make love to the holy month of Ramadan? Ain't she holy? This is the best month. This is when things happen. Okay, she don't have eggs no more, brother. You ain't going to make no physical babies, but you're going to create some whole lot of ideas being inside her and understanding that you're in paradise, because that's where you come from. So it's clean. Turn on all the lights. I want to see her. I ain't doing nothing in the dark. We turn the lights on her because we know we're wrong. Her smile, her happiness, how pleasing she is, how lovely she is. I want to be able to look at her when she's asleep and say, those big, beautiful, gorgeous eyes while she slept last night. Oh, that lovely skin as I watched her sleep last night. And them beautiful red lips while she slept last night. Yes. You want to see your wife for her true self. And when you understand that sex is not dirty. I don't even like the word sex. I don't want to sex my wife. I want to make love to my wife. I want to please my wife. Now, I know, brothers and sisters, you don't want to talk like that because you're stuck on stupid. You believe you ain't supposed to talk like that in the daylight hour because it's dirty. There's nothing dirty with anything that God has given us. That's a blessing. Because if you don't make love to your wife, you can't even make no babies. I wonder why there's no whole lot of babies running around anymore. Y'all wait too long to wake up to find out that we're one. That's what you think about in your mind. That's why even the exam comes on trying to give us the understanding that prayer is coming in. You don't take your wife for granted. When you start taking your wife for granted, then you take yourself for granted. You get barricades. And sisters, let me say this to you. You got 90 days when your husband is deceased or you lost your husband. But after that, go find you another husband. Because this is a real world. And you got to live in this world. You can't make it in this society by yourself. Satan will get you. But two, you got a problem with. But in the hereafter, that which is in your heart is who you're going to be with. Allah will not let you remember them. You wouldn't remember nothing of this world. But you'll know your babies, you'll know your parents, you'll know your loved ones, and you'll know that husband. So if you had 10 husbands, one of them got your heart. Allah knows. He knows your heart better than anyone. And that's the one he will give you in the hereafter. So all those other 9, you won't even remember. And that beautiful, gorgeous, pearly eyes and olive, milky skin and tall, that's you. That's God talking about you. What do you think God will put that in the Quran and make you say, oh, that ain't me, I'm no virgin? Allah makes everything new. There it is. So he makes you new. And he's telling you how new you will be. You have to understand how Allah talks to us. And then you understand scripture. These are the things that we should understand in the holy month of Ramadan. That we do these rituals, we make our prayers, and we don't understand why we make our prayers. But our prayer, brothers and sisters, they say the Muslim woman don't have to come to the masjid. She's free spirit. She comes to the masjid anytime she chooses to come to the masjid. And we should welcome her when she comes to the masjid. There's no such thing that our other half stay away from the masjid because they're only for men. But she does her job. She does it well. The home is hers. We call her the lord of the house. We don't dictate to her in the house because she has to be here. And she likes the bright things. You make suggestions. Oh, can you make that blue? She might do it for you, but you only make a suggestion to her. And she calls you to prayer. Even if she's on her monthly, she would tap you and say, darling, it's time for prayer. If that's not calling you to prayer, what is? So she's the madedi in the in her home. She calls you to prayer. And in your absence, she's the man and the woman. And she'll lead prayer, but ain't nobody else in there that can lead the prayer in the house. And when you hear her read the Holy Quran, you listen. And she reads it better than you. You listen, because she ain't reading her words. She reading Allah's words, and they pleasing to your soul because of the sound of her voice. Oh, we sometimes feel inferior. I'm inferior to no one but God. And God wouldn't send me nothing inferior. And so I would love her because she's a blessing from Allah. We got to stop this jealousy and envious. And you don't have to talk about how you and your husband get along. None of that business. And y'all got a problem, you iron it out. She's your psychiatrist and you hers. I guarantee you know her better than she know herself, and she know you better than you know yourself. Here you going to a third party trying to figure out where's the root. I got to get to the root of what's really going on. I know what's really going on. He disrespects me. I don't hear anybody tell me that. He think I got to do what he tell me to do. Obey your husband, sister. Well, Allah don't mean no individual human being. Obey your husband. For Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jesus was by the well, and he saw this female. And she had five husbands. But when she took on that sixth husband, she wasn't in her right mind. So what husband is Allah talking about? Her five senses. If you're married to your five senses, I got heaven. Because your five senses balance everything. Knowledge is given to you by Allah through man. So man gives you the knowledge. But ain't no man can take credit for your five senses. That was given directly to Allah in the womb of your mother. Now why we don't cherish it? We get away from it. So you got to be repetition. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers, peace upon him, said, bathe yourself in the river five times. And you got preachers baptizing people in the river. I don't care how dirty you are, you ain't getting clean being baptized in the river. That didn't mean the actual river. It means knowledge runs through knowledge. It doesn't deviate, doesn't back up. My grid represents your prayer going into darkness. That's why you have to do it out loud, because it's getting dark. But your Zuhr prayer, your Fajr prayer, I mean your Zuhr prayer and your Asr prayer, is you don't say a word. Allah doesn't need you. The lights are on. It's lit all over. You can see revelation for yourself. And that's another story. And we're almost coming down to the wire. I loved it so much that I hope that females out there that's by themselves will go get their husband and study with their husband, learn with their husband, and go to the grave with their husband. And stop putting all these different emphasis. You know, Satan got us so that I want a piece of paper on my wife. And really why you want the paper, brother, is because most of the women got money. You want her money if she dies. You want that piece of paper so you can tell that man, this is my wife, you can't touch her. A piece of paper don't stop a woman from doing anything she wants to do. And you might get your heart broken because she ain't got no money. You thought she had it. Or vice versa. I want to tie him up so he can't move and do anything else. Well, that's not coming from your heart. That's coming from society. You could never hurt your baby. You have no papers on your baby. But you love that child. And you would do anything. You would kill that monster for that child. No piece of paper tell you how to act. But now you got two.
Now you got three. Now you got four children. Now some of them get on your nerve, but those are your babies. And the question to ask, which one do you love the best? Because you ain't got one heart. You say, I love all my children. Now, which one I don't like today? That one that got on my nerve. Baby. So Allah says in the Holy Quran that I expanded Muhammad's heart. He expanded his heart, meaning he loves all humanity. So children or wives doesn't come into play. You have to love all humanity. You have to love your neighbor. You got to love the person down the street around the corner. If you don't have no love for them and too much love for yourself, then you ain't practicing Islam. You practicing Islam. But reading the Holy Quran, you will never find the word Islam. El-Islam is in the Holy Quran, and that's created by Allah. Muhammad the Prophet was a messenger of God, not a prophet of God, prophet to us. But he did not write the Holy Quran. So when you read God's words, you're praying. If you use God's words in your everyday life, you're praying. If you get in your automobile and say, Bismillah, you're praying. Those are Allah's words that you read. Allah said, oh, you Muhammad. You are Muhammad. I'm Muhammad. He's talking to us. But he used, oh, you Muhammad. So in other words, Muhammad says, when you say you're following the Sunnah, then you put yourself in a precarious position because you will never be equal or better. But we say we follow the Sunnah of Muhammad the Prophet. When he helps go straight, no one can make it wrong. But then Allah says, if you come crying to me, you will not reach me. This is your Lord talking to you. He says, but if you change that which is bothering your soul, and you are pleasing, meaning you got the husband that you're pleased with, and your soul feels good about, Allah said, now you please me. Oh, that's so beautiful. That you came and pleased God unless you please yourself. And when you please yourself, you got Allah. How could you lose with the stuff you use? Knowing that you are on the right path of the Sirata Mustaqim. And we make this religion so difficult that the Christians say, what's wrong with them? Why they act like that? That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to win them over with our kindness and our generosity and how we conduct ourselves. You don't let nobody bring bad talk to you. I heard a woman say, you know, sister, you act like you're the only one. She said, oh, I do. Yeah, he got another husband. He got another wife. Oh, he does. Yes. Say, well, can you give her the greetings for me and tell her thank you? What do you mean by that? Because when he comes home, he is so abundant of joy. So she's doing something wrong or something right. I don't have no problem out of my husband. See, that's it. And you have to die to order to live. Not a physical death. Die the death of rituals. Die the death of evil and suspicious. Die the death of arrogance. Die the death of jealousy to order to live. You can't live until you die. You have to kill all of that. And just be peaceful. Enjoy yourself. And your heart will bust. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve that. Brothers and sisters, I want to
thank you all for listening to me and Muhammad Ali. I traveled the world with him ever since I was 16 years old and been in many foreign countries with him. And I love that man. I love what he represented. I recognize the temptation. Women from all over the world just wanted to touch him, just have him. And he went through a lot of trial and error. But I want to say this, that he represented the Honorable Elijah Muhammad so well. And he represented Imam Wallace Muhammad so well. And he went to his grave on the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is something to understand, that whoever he chose, he was loyal. And I know a lot of things that occur he wouldn't have accepted. But it was meant. It was meant that Ali dominated the airwaves and shut Donald Trump down. Don't ever think Allah needs us to protect al-Islam. He can't do nothing without Islam. Allah can make Donald Trump sick. He can't even talk tomorrow. They allow him to talk, to test you, to see if you think that one individual or one country can come against the religion that Allah created. Allah says, you want religion, Christian? You want religion, Jew? Atheist? You want religion, our brothers and sisters that practice Buddhism? I'm going to give you religion. I'm going to call it al-Islam. But I'm going to perfect it to be perfect for you. Now, how can anybody go against that? So we are here to protect al-Islam, but we are here to protect that we ain't doing our job. Because if we were doing our job, Donald Trump wouldn't say these things that he doesn't know. And how are you going to charge a man with something that he has no knowledge of? For Muhammad the Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, gave the answer to the companions. He said, make them study the Quran and live by the Quran. He said, you can't do to forgive. But if I said something for you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your nature in which God has created you to revert back to your al-fitra, give that credit to Allah. I greet you from all the prophets, from Adam to Noah to Moses to Abraham to Muhammad to Prophet, the seal of the Prophet, with the greetings from the Holy Quran. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Thank you for listening.